and thank you for the opportunity to bring to you another portion of God's Word. Marguerite Higgins, probably never heard that name, but she was a Pulitzer Prize winner for international reporting. And during the Korean War, she was a wartime correspondent. And during that time, she saw the Marines there in Korea. And this one instance happened when it was 42 below zero in Korea. And I've been in Korea, probably the coldest places I've ever been. But she saw this Marine walking, coming in. He was battle-weary, worn. His eyes were sunken in. He kind of trudged up. He was covered with frozen mud. And so she asked him, she said, "If I were God and could grant you anything you wished, what would you like most?" He stood motionless for a moment and then raised his head and replied, "Give me tomorrow." In a world of uncertainty, this is a common choice. People want tomorrow. On the other hand, Peter Bogdanovich, a well-known director of The Last Picture Show and Paper Moon, was asked why he makes all his movies of the past. And he said, "I like any time better than now. I don't like what is happening today. It bores me, the music does. The cars are ugly, the people are dull, so I retreat to the past." In a decaying world where so much of what's once good is lost, okay, by the modern who seek the new at any cost, this is a choice of millions. Give me yesterday. And each of us can identify with both choices. There are two directions anybody can go today to escape today. Retreat to the past or march toward the future. However, there is another choice. Each choice has its values that can be defended. But Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount rejects them both. And instead, Jesus chooses the third alternative. The one and the other two others are trying to avoid. Don't escape to yesterday or tomorrow, but stand fast and live for today. Turn to Matthew, the fifth chapter. Matthew 5, beginning at verse 12. "Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets that were before you. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden under the foot of men. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a lamp and put it under the bushel, but on the stand. And if it shines unto all that are in the house, even so let your light shine before men, that they may see your good work and glorify your God who is in heaven." Now is where it's at. The word "now" is an interesting word. We find that the word means at the present moment or without any further delay. That word "now" is used over 1,300 times in the King James Version. In other versions, it's used even more. The Holy Spirit moved the writers and translators of the Bible to use that little word quite often throughout the book. Looking at the book of Acts, we see Paul, who's a Roman citizen, who had escaped Jerusalem from Ananias and the Sanhedrin by the aid of the Romans. After hearing the defense of Paul before Felix adjourned for several days. Turn with me to Acts, the 24th chapter. Acts 24, beginning at 22. "But Felix, having more exact knowledge concerning the way, deferred them, saying, When Lysias, the chief captain, shall come down, I will determine your matter. And he gave order to the centurion that he should be kept in charge and should have indulgence, and not to forbid any of his friends to minister unto him. But after several days, Felix came with Drusilla, his wife, who was a Jewess, and sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ Jesus. And as he reasoned of righteousness, of self-control, the judgment to come, Felix was terrified and answered, Go thy way for this time, for when I have a convenient season, I will call you unto me. He hoped that withal that money would be given him of Paul. Wherefore also he sent for him often and communed with him. But when 2 years were fulfilled, Felix was succeeded by Porcius, Festus, and desiring to gain favor with Jews, Felix left Paul in bonds. In essence, now was not convenient for Felix. We don't know if it was the right time. We don't know if Felix, there was ever a right time for Felix. In the history of man, God has a hand over time, place, and people. God picks the right time, the right place, and the right person. And God has a hand in it all. The right time. Consider why God picked the time for Jesus to be born. The time that the Hebrews were enslaved in Egypt and the Exodus with Moses as their Savior was 400 plus years. The years of silence between the Old Testament and New Testament was over 400 years with the coming of Jesus, our Savior. Jesus was to be born while Israel and Judah were under the thumb of Roman rule, which is also prophesied in the book of Daniel. Now, God put signs in heavens to announce Jesus' birth beyond the borders of Israel. Genesis 1:14 tells us that the stars were given in part for signs and for seasons. In 1:14 it says, "And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years." In Numbers 24:17 it says, it's the first prophetic mention of a future great ruler of Israel coming with a star. In Numbers 24:17, he says, "I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not nigh. There shall come forth a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite through the corners of Moab, and break down all the sons of tumult." Now Matthew records that the wise men from the east saw his star and came bringing gifts to worship him. The Babylonian captivity in years past had spread the influence of Jews far and wide. Perhaps this played a part in how the Magi came to look for a divine king's birth in Judea. We don't know. But they did come at the right time, at the right place, and found the right person. The right time is now to seek Jesus, the Son of God, who was born at the right time. Jesus was crucified according to the schedule of heaven for your sins and mine, raised at precisely the right time for our salvation and assurance of eternal life. Jesus is not the only one born at the proper time. God also has determined the times for you. Why are you living in the 21st century? Why? Why were you born? What is the purpose of your life? Because God determined it so. He is the God of when. He's also the God of the right place. God's word says that God has a place in where we live. Turn to Acts the 17th chapter. Acts 17, verse 24. "The God that made the world and all things therein, he being Lord of heaven and earth, dwells not in temples made with hands. Neither is he served by men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he himself gives to all life and breath and all things. And he made one of every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth, having determined their appointed seasons and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek God, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain even of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring." Paul, writing in Galatians chapter 1, verse 15, says, "When God, who set me apart from birth and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son to me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles." God knows you. He knows you from the time you're in the womb to the time that you die. In Jeremiah 1:5, he's telling Jeremiah, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet in the nations." In Psalms 139th Psalm, beginning at verse 15, he says, "My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." God knows you. He knows everything about us. When Dr. Russell, a Princeton astronomer, had concluded a lecture on the Milky Way, a woman came to him and asked, "If our world is so little and the universe is so great, can we believe that God pays any attention to us?" Dr. Russell replied, That depends entirely on how big a God you believe in. God is all wise and all knowing and all powerful. He knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows us from inside out. In Psalms 139, if you'd like to turn there, beginning at verse 1. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down and are acquainted with my ways. For there is not one word of my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. God knows you. He knows what you're doing. He knows what you're thinking. Consider what Paul wrote about the sons of Isaac, Jacob and Esau. Turn to Romans, the 9th chapter. Romans 9, beginning at verse 11. Yet before the twins were born or had done anything good or bad, in order that God's purpose and election might stand, not by works but by him who calls, she was told, the older shall serve the younger. Just as is written, Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated. What then shall we say? Is God unjust? Not at all. For he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. It does not, therefore, depend on man's desire or effort, but on God's mercy. For the scripture says to Pharaoh, I raised you up for this very purpose, that I might display my power in you, and that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth. Therefore, God has mercy on whom he wants to have mercy, and he hardens whom he wants to harden. One of you will say to me, why then does God still blame us for who resists his will? But who are you, O man, to talk back to God? Shall what is formed say to him who formed it, why did you make me like this? Does not the potter have the right to make out of the same lump of clay some pottery for double purposes and some for common use? Some people find these verses hard, hard to understand and hard to accept. Do you think this contradicts free will? What this clearly teaches is that God is God over time and circumstances. God is the potter and we are the clay. Nothing escapes God's sovereignty. Yet at the same time, the Bible teaches us that we are called and must respond in obedient faith, implying our freedom of choice. Our freedom of choice in no ways limits God's sovereign rule over anything. God, who is a God of when, is also the God of where. God determined the boundaries of your habitation. In other words, God, not only God knows where you live, he gave it to you. Some other people find it troubling to think that God has that much influence over them. But I like to think about my situation, and this is probably a situation that some of you may as well. You would think that I, who lived in Georgia up until the 7th grade, would find a woman in Arizona. I lived in Georgia, like I said, through 7th grade, and we moved to Arizona because of the health of my mother and my sister. We initially went to Prescott and then to Wickenburg. We went over to Springerville, but settled on Bisbee, which is down at the southeast corner, because of the climate. Jeff's father retired from the Navy in California. He went to work for an insurance company. He did very well, and they gave him made him a general agent and transferred him to Tucson. Jan's brother married a woman whose family lived in Bisbee. Jan's went to meet her brother's family in Bisbee, where she met one of my friends. In our meeting, was this just a series of coincidences? Perhaps. But I truly believe that this is what God had planned for Janice and myself. We've been married over 52 years. I'm sure everyone has similar stories to tell. God is all-powerful and all-knowing and all-present. He certainly is able to place you where you are or where you need to be. God has a plan. He determined the boundaries of your habitation. In other words, God only knows where you live. He gave it to you. Some, even among Christians, find it troubling that God has that much influence over them. He puts you in a place that you are so that you will seek him. Can you accept that about God? Sometimes we face tribulations, things where the conditions of our lives and the lives of others are in worse circumstances. Consider other locations that you might have been. Aren't you glad that you're not living in North Korea or Siberia, Afghanistan, or other such places today? Besides picking the right time and the right place, he also picked the right person. This makes all the difficulties of when and where recede into the background. Jesus, we know, was the right person. He's our King, our Savior, our Redeemer, who came here for you and for me. The God of when and where is also the God of who. Who is he? He was one born the King in Israel, King of kings and Lord of lords, King of glory, strong and mighty. In Psalms, the 24th chapter, if you'd like to look there. Psalms 24, beginning at verse 3. Who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hearts and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to an idol or swear by what is false. He will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God, his Savior. Such is the person of those who seek him, who seek your face, O God of Jacob. Lift up your heads, O gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is he, this King of glory? The Lord Almighty. He is the King of glory. God has a hand in all, guiding you and me to come. Throughout history, God has raised up others for this purpose. The arrow, which we mentioned in Romans 9:17, was raised up so that God could display his power. Joseph in Egypt. Consider the circumstances of Joseph, who was sold into slavery. And wound up being the second in the nation of Israel, or it is not Israel, but Egypt, and saved not only Egypt, but others who came to him, like his family. Moses was raised up, we know, to lead the Hebrews out of Egypt. Esther, who raised up to become the queen and eventually saved the Jews from being destroyed. Isaiah, considered one of the major prophets, he talked about the coming of Jesus Christ. Ezekiel, which we studied. Judas was raised up for this purpose, to betray Christ. Saul of Tarsus, a man born out of season, but he was called to be an apostle. And you, God has called you. God has put you on this earth now. It's good to appreciate that life is now. God is now with you. He's always there with you. And it's important that we recognize that, that God is with us now. Whatever offers little or much, life is today, this hour. And the question is, what purpose does God have for you? In Genesis, the 32nd chapter, if you'd like to look over there. Having been a former wrestler, I always like these passages when I read these. Genesis 32, beginning at 34. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was strained as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaks. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. He said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel, for thou hast striven with God and with man, and hast prevailed. And Jacob wrestled with the Lord all night until the breaking of the day. The lesson that many of us need to learn is that we are all wrestlers. We wrestle with this world. But the time has come when we must let God win or be lost. Ephesians 6:12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against the powers, against the world rulers of this darkness, against the spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly places. If we submit to our Heavenly Father, our walk will forever be changed, just as Jacob's was. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, it says, for he says, in the time of my favor I heard you, in the day of salvation I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. Will you be like the wise men and now worship Christ? Will you go where Jesus leads you, when he leads you to those whom he sends to you? We are called to tell others. Are you faithful to this calling? The God of time, place, and person has come here for you and me. God knows you. God knows you. The Lord knows us all very well, far better than we know ourselves. 2 Timothy 2:19 says, nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with his inscription. The Lord knows who are his, and everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness. And the question is, are you ready? Now is the time. Think on these things as we stand and sing.